Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Tonight, it is Wednesday, November 1, November 1, 2017, and we are progressing to the final phase of this year. I cannot believe it already, and it's such a wonderful year. Southern Light will join us shortly, so don't become alarmed. People, you will be able to receive your breathing and your love the body from Featherlight tonight. She will join us. So welcome in. Tonight we are going to talk about a very apropos subject, your sexual rights and date rape and acquaintance rape. We'll get more into that, but let me read my quote. Let's see, where's my quote? All right, here's a quote. Stop being afraid of what could go wrong and start being excited about what could go right. Stop being afraid of what could go wrong and start being excited about what could possibly go right. Think about all of the wonderful possibilities. I know sometimes I get so caught up in like, oh, well, I don't know, maybe what if this happens or what if that happens. Well, I've learned over the years, yes, that could happen, or this could happen. There are variables and many possibilities to any situation or circumstance or incident. So I just accept it as it comes. I actually say, this is what I want to happen. This is what needs to happen, and this is what will happen. And it generally turns out that way, if it's all for the best. So go out there and live your life in essence. Live your life. Live your life. So tonight, our show topic, sexual rights, things you should know about date or acquaintance rape. Your sexual rights. Seems like a lot of sexual rights are being violated. Well, always have been, not here recently. I guess, again, with the advent of social media, we are able to hear more about these instances, but I have more to say about that topic later in the show. And tonight for our African Spirit segment, we will honor Huey P. Newton. Black Panthers were founded in October 1966 in Oakland, California. So we'll talk a little bit about Huey P. Newton, Dr. Huey P. Newton. And, you know, you can get a few hot topics here. I will share those hot topics. And I think we'll actually squeeze in a letter tonight. I did want Feather Light to speak on this one particular subject that would have fit in perfectly with this letter that I selected. So hopefully we'll get to that letter. But you can always send your letters also, and we will read these letters. We will start reading letters. I promise you that. You can send your letters to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show by just emailing us your letter, mindbodyspiritradioshow@gmail.com. You can also call in. We're here every Wednesday night, 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025. You can call in and share your thoughts and commentary. I have to send out my condolences to the people in New York who were victims of this fatal car crash in New York. I have to say I have not had an opportunity to really read much on the story. I know that it happened. It came in my news feed, and I kept seeing the death toll increase. So my condolences to those loved ones, friends, family of those people. Ah, tragedy happens. It is, I tell you, we're in some strange times. Strange times. Also, Fats Domino, Ain't That a Shame? What was that song? I Found My Thrill on Blueberry Hill. Fats Domino, Antoine Dominique Fats Domino Jr., Louisiana Creole descent, one of the architects of rock and roll music. He sold more than 65 million records between 1955 and 1960. He had 11 top 10 hits. He transitioned October 24th in Harvey, Louisiana. I recall hearing like his health began to fade after Hurricane Katrina. See, and this is what I keep sharing with people. After Hurricane Katrina, I remember hearing people talk about having the Katrina cough and all these weird illnesses and aches and things. And I tell you, here in Houston, people are having aches and coughs. People are calling it the Harvey cough. There's all this mold that's still ubiquitous here in the Houston, and here in the city. And it is horrible. It's horrible. I was in a neighborhood just this past weekend, and oh my goodness, these were some beautiful, beautiful homes. And as you approach them, they were all empty. Empty, with X marks on the outside, just like after Katrina. Oh my goodness.
Namaste.
Namaste, I'm here. Namaste.
Yes. Namaste. Some of them had black X's and some of them had red X's, and I wondered what the difference are.
Yes, because there's like the creek and the bayou right behind many of those homes. And I mean, that's just like, I mean, that's not far from this area where we broadcast at all. I mean, it's not even 5 miles. Not even 5 miles. And that's a very short distance when you speak about Houston, having to drive
Houston
30 miles just to get somewhere else on the other side, wherever you're trying to go. Anyway, but so I was, Featherlight, before you joined us, I was speaking about Harvey, and actually I was talking about Fats Domino. Fats Domino transitioned on with the ancestors October 24th. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking about how his health began to fade after Hurricane Katrina, which led me to talk about all the illnesses that people are experiencing here in Houston. So people, keep us in your prayers. Lord have mercy. We're already suffering from environmental poisoning here with all of these factories and everything up and down the highways. And they have the audacity to call this place green. Yes, yeah, some parts are green, but darn it, all of those factories over there by the Port of Houston, oh my God. Ooh, all of those people over there, oh my goodness. They're really suffering from environmental poisoning.
Right.
But we are too, because all the air floats over here. So would you like to share your quote?
Yes, mine is pretty simple. It just says, fall in love with yourself.
Fall in love with yourself?
Fall in love with yourself. You fall in love with that person and that person.
Yeah.
Fall in love with yourself.
take some time to fall in love with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that. Some things that you enjoy, that is your spirit calling, you have a passion about. Treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Treat yourself. Treat yourself. Don't cheat yourself. We used to say that.
Self
is more for others than we do for ourselves. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Did you have another one? Are you going to say that one? I know you have so many wonderful sayings and quotes. Okay. Well, let me share this story. So, I've been super busy, so I just actually heard about this story this morning, and I was just horrified after hearing the details. So, this student named Chanel Rowe in Hartford, Connecticut, was a roommate with this other person named Brianna Ray Bruce, who is 18. So, this Brianna Ray Bruce, this degenerate, was arrested Saturday, and at the time, Saturday, she was facing charges of third-degree criminal mischief and second-degree breach of peace after police said she boasted about rubbing used tampons on her black roommate's book pack, her bag, and contaminating her eating utensils, toothbrush, and other beauty products. Just disgusting. And so, just disgusting, my goodness. So she was in court Wednesday from these charges that originated with an Instagram post in which she stated, now see, this is what I keep telling people about this Instagram and social media, telling all your business, okay? I understand these little children, this is the world that they've grown up in, but let this be a lesson. All this little stuff that you do, you don't have to tell the world everything, but I'm glad she did, because it got her a little nasty butt exactly where she needs to be. Brianna Bruce, I think of a little nasty name for her, was in court on Wednesday. I can't think of one right now. I'm just so disgusted by this. She was in court Wednesday for charges that originated from her Instagram post, right? So she posted on her Instagram, after 1.5 months spitting it in her coconut oil, putting moldy clam dip in her lotions, rubbing used tampons on her book pack, putting her toothbrush in places where the sun doesn't shine, and so much more, I can finally say goodbye to Jamaican Barbie. So anyway, to make a long story shorter, because you can go online and read about this story. I did post it in the Mind, Body, and Spirit group on the BTR page. So you can read the story if you haven't heard this. And she also has a series of videos from her Facebook Live page that she began to post because, of course, okay, so this young woman, she calls herself Jazzy, Chanel Rowe, right? She began to just feel like, okay, I am having a dysfunctional relationship with my roommate. Let me just move out. So she proceeds to move out one evening. And so her roommate, the nasty girl, asks, oh, so you moving out? And she's like, yes. And so the little nasty girl, that's when she starts posting on Instagram all of this viciousness, all of this vileness, all of this, I just don't even know what to say about this. This is horrible. This is horrible. Who does this? So she began to post all of this on Instagram. A lowly creature, right, a miscreant. And so she began to post this, and so other students began to show Chanel the Instagram post. All the while, Chanel has been feeling ill. She continues to feel ill. She's been going back and forth to the doctor, and nothing was diagnosed or determined other than finally the doctors finally said, well, you just have some kind of bacterial infection. So this young lady, the student,
received a bacterial infection from this little nasty roommate of hers, contaminating her supplies.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, sticking toothbrushes where the sun don't shine, but you stuck it up your butt and brought it back out, you little nasty. Ugh. Anyway, so this young lady, of course, the school, after she contacted the school, the president's name is Jerry S. Woodward. I heard he received a ton of calls today. But anyway, so the school, of course, wanted to just kind of cover it up and just, you know, want her to forget about it, you know. In fact, sign this statement here saying that you will not have any contact with her, because if you do, then we'll expel you. Wait a minute. What?
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. So the school was actually trying to tell this young lady, well, attempted to and almost was successful with it, telling her that you don't have any contact with her. You're not permitted to make any more comments about this while we're investigating this. So this happened. This incident occurred, I believe it was October 18th, and then this nasty girl finally surrendered on the 28th, this past Saturday. So this young girl, Chanel, is saying that from the 18th up until now, nothing has been done. She can't, no resolve whatsoever. She can't make a move because they're constantly telling her that they're investigating it.
Oh, that's
right.
Slick.
And then tell her don't mention it. Don't say anything.
Whoa.
Basically, want to put a gag order on her. No. And I am so glad. Now, that's one thing I can say about this social media. We know how to use it when we really know how to use it. So she got on her little Facebook Live, and she started posting and telling the story and asked people to share it, because she knew, thankfully, and this is how I say we have to raise our children, like Ida B. Wells said and did, you have to shame these people into action. Otherwise,
you do.
They'll just try to sit back and cover it up. Like
mm-hmm.
they're no blood stains on their hands or the hems of their skirts. Knowing.
Exactly.
They're just as guilty as sin.
As sin.
So anyway, the little girl, as baby, like my grandmother used to say, long is two left shoes. So anyway, she began to post her story, and the videos went viral. People began to call the school. And so now this girl, as of this evening, around 6 or 7, the charges escalated from this mischief that would not have even been a felony. Now she's being charged, possibly being charged with a hate crime. So we'll have to keep our eye on this story, because, again, we have to protect our children. Now, some people say, well, she should have been at an HBCU. Yeah, but, you know, they have things that happen at HBCUs also. What's important is we really have to protect our children. And I don't know if this case could may be used to set precedence that since we are under these types of attacks constantly, the little student, the boy that was, where was he, in Maryland, and the guy walked up to him and stabbed him while he was walking down the street. If our students are in these hostile environments, then I don't think that they should have to continue to be subjected to some random pool whereas their roommate is selected. No, our students need to be able to select their own roommate. Otherwise, then this institution needs to make some type of accommodations for my child to have a role of their own, because I can't risk my child's life in your hands, because this university is not taking care of my child. You're not providing a safe environment. And so parents need to really demand, and speaking of which, and then I'm going to get back on these hot topics, I cannot believe, I do not have children in school, but I just cannot believe that in some of these school districts, these schools will not dismiss your child. If you come to pick up your child, they will not dismiss your child if it's a certain, if that time is within a certain window of dismissal. I don't care if it's 5 minutes to dismissal. Me with my little one child or six children is not going to disrupt this entire school's dismissal.
Right.
If it is, then right. you need somebody else administrating, okay? Because that's not too difficult to facilitate. Okay, so anyway.
My child.
You telling me I can't get I said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me the school tells you when you can pick up your child? I don't think so. I do not think so. So that lets you know right there that when your children go into those doors, that's confirming that they're more of a state, in a sense. Because that don't even make no sense. You lose all rights to your child. And but then you
like
get money off my child in that school. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're making money off my child in that school.
Right.
But then I can't come and dismiss, have my child dismissed when I want to come pick that child up at 1:30 for a doctor's appointment, and the school closes, dismisses at 2 or whatever. So I'm just disrupting everything. Give me a break. Parents, step up and gain your rights back. I guess they probably say, oh, she talked that stuff. She don't have any children. I bet you if I want, first of all, I guarantee you, at some of these affluent schools, when these parents come and say, hey, look, me and Billy have a flight to France at 1 p.m. and I need to dismiss him, I bet you they don't give all that. Well, no, man, you got to wait until so-and-so time before we dismiss him. Please. Anyway, so I'm not even getting ready to play with these people. I'm really not. But anyway, so this story, you can read about it more online. So I hear that the charges have been escalated to possible hate crime. This degenerate, disgusting. Oof. That's all I can say about her. Oof. Degenerate, disgusting. Oof. Yeah.
And also, don't forget that she took pictures of her roommate's mail and posted it. So that takes it up another notch. That's a federal thing.
That's. Be you tampering with someone's mail. Isn't that a crime?
Don't
you can't tamper
address.
Just like we can't tamper with. We can't place anything in a person's mailbox. So what are you doing touching on my mail? You thief!
Right.
I'm just like, are you serious? And so I mean, the school actually tried to have this girl not speak on this. They tried to silence her. So the incident has brought about accusations of racism. Of course, the president is disgruntled about that. But so what? You should have taken care of the problem. And see, that gets on my nerves because this president was not willing to address this situation. It's just like, oh, whatever. And just like the young lady said in her video, if the roles had been reversed, if she was the culprit, the perpetrator, then it would have been. She guarantees it would have been. It would have happened. This would have played out differently. She would have already been arrested and charged with the proper crime.
And charged immediately charged with the hate crime.
My goodness. So anyway, I just wanted to share this story because she wasn't getting any attention until she started to post this Monday, and I just wanted to share that. And maybe we still need to call the school because, in my opinion, I agree with some people. What some people are saying, she should have. I think she was already on a scholarship, but her tuition, room and board, everything, accommodations, all should be waived and upgraded. Hell, whatever. I mean, whatever you can squeeze out of this damn school for not protecting you, young lady.
Yeah, and then trying to shove it under the rug.
Please.
We have got to do better with protecting our children, though.
We really have to.
And stop throwing into the wolves.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I want to mention briefly the Texans finally took a knee. They took a knee because the quote-unquote owner of the Texans, Bob McNair, one of the owners, apparently made this statement in their meeting that they couldn't allow the inmates to run the prison. So, I mean, people have probably heard this. We're just speaking about this today, Wednesday, because I think it happened Sunday. But anyway, I just had to bring that up because we are here in Texas, and the Texans said, looky here. Mm-hmm. You'll take a knee. Well, mm-hmm. You know what, guys? You can take a knee. But I would also say, in order to continue pursuing your dream, because I wouldn't want to tell anyone to stop pursuing your dream. In order to continue pursuing your dream, I would definitely see if I could trade to another team or something like that. Because, but you know, so many of them think like that. So many of them feel like I am the owner. So, what do you do? Where do you go? How do you handle this? How do you handle this? How do you work within a crooked, wicked, evil, insane, vicious system? I'm like Baba Dick Gregory now. How do you operate within it? Or do you just operate outside of it? So I hope that Master P and Colin and Michael Jordan put up some of your little money too. And Magic Johnson, how about you? And Kobe and anybody else? Some of these extremely wealthy people, a couple of these Nigerian oil people, like that lady, I cannot call her name. She has more money than Oprah. I cannot think of her name. Her and some other people, please put together an NFL team. I will start watching football.
So will I.
I'll turn it on the TV. I may not watch it. I'll let you get some ratings on it. I'll pop my head in and say, "Oh, go, you go." But please put together a football team. Please do. Like Master P said, the NFL needs a little competition. Why do they have to have a monopoly on everything? Yes. Let's go back to the Negro League. Go ahead on and create it. And then we'll buy some tickets.
Right.
What's his name? Ice Cube has some type of retiree NBA team, and I think the tickets are only like $27, $28. They wanted to make the tickets affordable so people can take a family. A real family can take their family. A working class family can take their family.
Right.
Anyway. So, I think that's all I have to say. I don't even want to talk about those other low-down crooks being charged and indicted and all of that stuff, because this is what these people do all the time. This is the reason why many of them were placed on boats and sent over here in the first darn place, because you were charged and indicted for some type of crime, and they opened up the jails over there across the water and sent your butt over here to work and pay off debts. So it's nothing new. I keep saying stuff. All of this is a Ponzi scheme. It's an illusion. So create your own reality.
There you go.
That's all I have to say on that. Yeah. I'm done. It's a wrap. Good night. We'll see you. So anywho, do you have any topics you'd like to share? Anything you'd like to share before we go into our topic for tonight?
It was something I did have to say. We'll probably think of it later.
Okay.
Keep going into our topic.
Let's go on into our topic for tonight, people, because let's get into this. Your sexual rights, since sex is always a hot topic. Sex is always a hot topic. And right now, sex is really a hot topic because so many people feel like their sexual rights or their sexuality has been assaulted. Their person has been assaulted by a sexual predator, shall I say. So we've heard about, oh my God, Kevin Spacey. But you know, he's always been kind of queenie, though. He's always been like a little queen in the movie. in the parts that he's portrayed. I still can't think of the name of that film in New Orleans when he played, he portrayed this like wealthy lawyer, maybe like in the early 1900s or something like that. I can't quite recall, but of course, it was some type of role where he could be all dressed up, looking all
sweet and Queenie. You know how he is. Same way he is on House of Cards. So, Kevin Spacey. Yeah, so he wanted to come out and say he was gay. Like, that was like newsflash or something, but whatever, Kevin Spacey. But you know what? All of this messing around with these children, that is sick. That is sick. But these people know that this has been happening in Hollywood, in other areas, in politics, the church, across the... It does not matter. This is what happens. And it's disgusting. Once again, it's disgusting. Disgusting. And it's wicked. Ugh. Jesus, leave these children alone. Goodness gracious. So we're putting a spin on sexual rights, but we're going to come at it from a different angle, I think, Featherlight, to give people more, I guess, insight to their power in terms of sexual rights.
Right.
I guess you could say.
So
yeah.
So this was... this is an article in Glamour.com, and it was entitled, "These Are Your Sexual Rights." So, basically, it's saying you're entitled to good sex, great sex, the sex you want, not what you're supposed to want. Society traditionally has put on us being as this is how you're supposed to be, and this is how you're supposed to walk, and this is what you're supposed to say, and when you say this, you're wrong. If you look this way, you're wrong. You know, so this is basically saying, okay, forget about societal expectations so far as sex is concerned. Okay, you have sexual rights, and this is mostly for women, because this was written by a group of women, and each one of them is expressing their particular sexual rights. So the first one is, you have the right to possibilities. Enjoying more than one partner, trying out toys and positions you never even dreamed of. You don't necessarily have to stick to the old preconceived notions about sex that society has placed on you. It's your body, and it's your pleasure. Trust your body. Your body knows what it wants. And there is a lot you can figure out and learn about yourself if you just give yourself a chance. And by the way, my quote earlier, I was saying it from memory because I didn't have my quote in front of me, so let me repeat it and say it correctly. Fall in love with taking care of yourself, mind, body, spirit. So, learn your body. Learn your body. You may know one thing about your body. Like, oh, I don't like when anybody does that. I don't want anybody to touch that right there. Ooh, when somebody touches that, like, that's so crazy. Yeah, but learn your entire body. If you want good sex, then it's up to you to know what makes you feel good. So if you don't know what you like, how can you express it to someone else? You have to know what you like in order for them to satisfy you in the way that you want to be satisfied. So that's sexual possibilities. If you don't ever want toys, that's cool. But if you kind of want to experience a toy and you think, oh, what will people think? No. Satisfy your pleasure. All right. With you, Black Rose.
Okay. I like that part about trusting and knowing your body, because you have to feel comfortable with your body and trust your body and relax with people. And that's why if you don't feel relaxed in any instance and someone is encouraging you or trying to be persuasive or coming on to you in a way and you feel uncomfortable, in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, then your sexual rights are being violated.
Right. Exactly.
So, absolutely. All right, let's go with this one here. You have, and people, you can share with us if you think that that doesn't make sense, or yes, or you've thought about that. You can share with us your thoughts and commentary. Okay, here's one. You have the right to talk like a porn star in bed. If you want to. Some people turn to porn to get ideas. Okay. So, it's okay to stray from outside the norm if you want to. So don't feel like you are, say, for instance, betraying yourself. You can still be that stalker mom, or you can still be the Usher church in the choir, big sister volunteer, and you can still scream, or you can still say dirty things in bed. I guess people call them dirty things. You can maybe use some explicit language. How about that?
Right,
if that's what you want to do. But I would say talk to your partner about that, because you don't want to scare them. Because I know sometimes, because I do have like a little dominatrix side to me, even though I haven't really indulged in that. Maybe I will in the future. I hope so. But anyway, maybe like with some men, you may want to say something, but then you don't want to say that because then they may be like, ooh, she sounds nasty, or I wonder does she say that to everybody. You know how men think. They always think of something. They always think of something all off the wall sometimes. You know, when it comes to sex.
My mom used to say, all ass backwards.
All ass backwards. So I think maybe it may be good to discuss that initially, to see if that's something that may appeal to him. What do you think about this, Satellite? Or should you just say, "Oh, give it to me, you big gorilla, you big man." I don't know. Work it, Daddy.
Well, I would start kind of small. I wouldn't go way out. You know, just kind of say a little something to, you know. Oh, spank me or something like that. They'd probably go, you know. I would start with something that I know that they would love to hear from me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So keep it kind of soft and simple to start.
Not soft, but just kind of safe, you know, kind of out there, but you can really back in if, you know, you didn't get to do it. The reaction. I would do it. Yeah, I would just do it. And then later I would say something about it, like, you know, did that surprise you? And then from there I could tell. I could with this response.
From there you could tell.
Okay.
And that's communication. That's communication. Communication is highly important.
Oh yeah.
Very important.
Definitely.
Some people say that if you used certain words or language, explicit language, or more sexy language in bed, it may actually help your orgasm. Maybe you may have a more powerful
orgasm.
Chess.
Because it's
all right.
When you feel like you can't say certain words, like curse words, when you feel that you can't say them, then you're holding something back, right? Okay, because obviously you feel you're not free enough to say it. You want to, but you're not free enough to say it. So that's actually holding something back. So when you release it, like a sneeze, when you release it, that feels good. Because you're releasing all your muscles and everything, so everything sort of falls into place. And you're like, ooh, it's so good to say that. You know. So, yeah, I think it could help your orgasm. Mm-hmm.
I was in the part that says children should not. No, that's the next part. Oh, is it? This is the part you put the children to bed. Because we're talking about orgasms. I'm going to really talk about orgasms.
Oh. Okay. Children should be in the bed. We are now going to from PG to maybe just a half of X. Not triple.
Speaking of the big O, you have the right not to be orgasm shamed.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
You have the right not to be orgasm shamed.
Do I have that right?
Women, we need to have a ceremony for that. And I know some men may not want to hear that, but
okay, go ahead on and talk about this.
Okay, so these are different writers, and this particular person wanted to share her story about the right not to be orgasm shamed. So she was having sex, she says, with her partner, and in the midst of what she thought was great sex, he just suddenly stopped and said, "You ain't gonna come anyway," and pulled out and walked out of the room. "You ain't gonna go anyway." You can imagine me either. But I'd be like, "What? Where are my clothes?"
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so his actions gave her the impression that she was a waste of time because she didn't easily arrive at the zone, you know, at the time that he thought that she should. Well, la-ti-da. So years later, she said it happened again with another partner. He stopped mid-thrust and said, "I don't know why you're not letting this happen. You're making this tough for me." Mm-hmm. Okay. Some men think that the curriculum goes up and down, up and down. But for women, guys, it's a different thing going on. It's a different engineering. Okay, so it's a lot of more complex than up and down. So some men feel compelled to take the ownership of a woman's pleasure, but no. So when she doesn't have an orgasm, then in a timely fashion, so to speak, they seem to take it as an emasculation, something against them. So no wonder many women fake it, you know, to preserve their partner's manhood. That's why they've been doing it, guys, to preserve your manhood. But some women never got the memo. Some women don't fake. So as a result, they're made to feel as if there's something wrong with their vagina. I prefer to call it yoni.
Yoni.
Your yoni is not broken.
Okay.
It's not broken. It's just fine. For some, it's just, you know, your partners, it takes sexual maturity and finding that place, that position that you forgot was there, never discovered. Maybe a patient partner who's patient and wants to know, what is it that you like? What do you want me to do? And he's willing to try some sex, you know, some explorations here and there. And then another thing, you explore your body. So not everyone will be able to climax via the linga, or want to, for that matter. And that's cool and dandy. But remember, ladies, there is no room in your yoni for a penis and an ego. Okay?
No, there is not. No, there is not. There is not. So, speaking on this not having the O, I know for so many years and times for women, I've heard this over time for so many years from women, shall I say, that they did not experience an orgasm. And somebody talking about they feel sorry for these women. So we talked about this a little bit before. I know that there has been a time when I didn't have an orgasm. I said a time because I'm not going to tell y'all how many times I had sex. Anyway, it's only been two times. Anyway, so there has been a time when I didn't have an orgasm and I faked it and said, yeah, I did, and I didn't. And so why do we, and I don't know if it's maybe like the millennials, maybe they're to a point, whereas they don't fake it. I don't know. I wonder if it's generational, like women growing up in our generation and prior to us, because we were taught to be so, what would you say, straight-laced with it, not so exotic, not too exotic with it. So we've just been taught to just kind of be there and procreate. I don't think that we were taught that it's supposed to be enjoyable for us.
Right.
I don't think that we were taught how enjoyable it could be.
Right.
And I think that we were shamed if we knew different positions. Because now, like, you juxtapose that with, like, the Indian culture, different groups of those Indian women, they are taught at a very young age how to please a man in different Kama Sutra positions and things like that to help them with an orgasm or to help them produce a female child or a male child. Just all types of different positions for different effects and results. Mm-hmm. And we just think of sex as just sex, boom, 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 and, you know, somebody has an orgasm and then it's over and done with. Usually the man has an orgasm and it's done with.
Right.
So for women, like, it's been for us, it's been like, oh, we don't really tell the truth, some of us. But I've heard that when you become 40, you feel like, listen, I'm grown, I'm an adult, I don't have time for playing and all of that stuff.
Right.
We need to get it in, get it on, let's have some good sex, because you're married with your husband or you have your partner. And you're probably not, maybe you are sleeping with different people. Who knows? I don't know. Whatever your lifestyle is, that's you. No judgment. But I've heard that when women become reach their 40s, they begin to say, forget this. I'm not saying that I had an orgasm, and I didn't.
Right.
Now, let's get back at it. Do you need some Gatorade? Do you need some water, cigarette, beer? What do you need? What is it? Massage? Do I need to dance? What? Okay, come on, because let's keep it exciting, because I have yet to have my orgasm, and I would like to have one tonight. So anyway, I think that we as women deserve that orgasm. We deserve it.
We do.
And it's, I'm not going to put it all on the men either. I am also putting that onus on the women, because we have to learn the positions that help us have the orgasm we desire. And we have to help our man help us get there. Because they don't know everything, just like we don't know everything. No. We learn, we explore. And that's why, once again, communication rules the nation. You have to have some communication. Okay? Talk about it. If we stop jumping in bed with everybody you meet so quickly without talking to them about sex and, I don't like your tongue here, but I like it there. Don't do this because I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be open and share with people. Okay. Anything with me? Would you like to share something? Because I know I went off on my little tangent, because you know how I feel about
it. Oh, we love it.
We love your tangent.
Okay. Also, ladies, find your G-spot. Find out where it is. Google it. It will give you clear pictures. Exactly, and it will also give you clear detail as to how to get to it. So if you know where it is, then you could also help your partner get there, get to that point, so you can experience those fabulous.
Okay. I don't know. So, all right. So let's see. You have the right to be submissive. Role playing, being the submissive partner, taking orders, spanking because you've been a bad girl. But can we say this for men and women though? Because I think that this
I think men and women need this.
Yes, yes, we'll make it for men and women.
Okay,
because,
okay.
I don't like men like spanking too. Yeah.
And men like to have their orgasms, and I think that men can have powerful orgasms, and then they can have some that are not so powerful. So I think that this would help them too. And then, yes, men
but
are sexually assaulted.
We would never orgasm shame them, though. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
We would never orgasm
yes.
shame them. We would never say,
oh.
What? Nah. Nah,
I don't know. Maybe if a man has been orgasm shamed, he'll let us know. He'll let us know if you've been orgasm shamed. Because we don't want to seem like we're dissing the men. Okay. So, so some women may be dominant, or some men or women may be dominant at work, and they want to come home and they want to play a different role. They want to take on a submissive role. And I actually watched this, I think it was like some documentary on like prostitution and powerful men or something. And so that is the life that a lot of powerful men live. They are constantly giving orders and making decisions during the day. So they want to be able to hire a person to have an encounter with, and that person takes control. They want to relax. And I truly understand that. When you're out making decisions and major moves all day long, sometimes you just want to let somebody else make the decisions and you know, to just tell me what you want me to do, baby. This is what you want me to do, baby. I do it, baby. Look, I sound like one of those cougar women. This is what you want me to do, baby. Yeah, just tell mom what you want mom. What you doing? What do you want mom to do, baby? But anyway, so if that's what you like, then you can take on the submissive role, or vice versa. You can take on the power role. You can be dominant. You can be the dominant person. I think that dominatrix and all of that stuff is very interesting to me. I sure would love to find a partner. I don't know how I would find a partner. I don't even know how to get into that world, although I hear it's very popular here in Houston. I mean, I probably could get into it if I really did want to pursue it at this moment, because Houston has a little bit of everything going on in it. I tell you, these after-hour clubs and these sex clubs that they have here in Houston, oh my goodness. And I think that Halloween is like the swingers and, what is it, BDSM New Year's Eve.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's
no
why they
wonder.
Have all those masquerade parties
yeah.
and all. Right.
Oh,
check,
really
check. Mhm. So anyway, yeah, but just whatever you like, though. Whatever role playing, it's okay to role play and try different acts or things in the bedroom. Keep it spicy. Keep it spicy
mm-hmm.
and fun. If that's the type of mate that you have, and you should have a mate that you're compatible with. So we're speaking to people who this is appealing to, because if this is something that you want to do, then you should have a mate that is agreeable and amenable to these types of suggestions. Don't try to force this stuff on someone, because then you would be violating their sexual rights. If that's not what they enjoy, don't try to force that on them. That, again, it goes back to communicating. Before you start jumping in the bed with somebody, yeah, find out what they like. You may not ask them, do you like to be spanked or beat? I mean, you may not want to ask them that, but just kind of have that conversation and allow certain aspects to show. They will, a person will show you. Just pay attention and listen. Just let them talk. I always let people just talk about themselves, because everybody loves to talk about themselves. And that's why, and I think that's why people like to talk to me, because I just let them run their mouth and just get it all out. And then I find out everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
People like to share. People like for you to listen. They like for someone to listen to them. Because half the time they have a mate or some other people that don't want to listen to them.
Who don't want
to
listen.
So
they have
find
no one
people
to talk
that listen.
To.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway.
You have a right to be vanilla in bed. You have a right to be vanilla. So some people are swingers. They have no problem sleeping with multiple partners, even in the presence of their mate or their partner. By the way, he was probably doing the same thing in another room. Being free with sex does not mean you are into anal sex. That's a preference. The problem with treating each edgy sex act like a merit badge. I mean, people are like, I did this. I mean, it confuses sex with fake symbols of empowerment. It confuses with genuine sexual agency. I mean, is it genuine sex? You're just trying to get a medal. You're just trying to let people know, I did this and I did that. That's kind of confusing. So, doing everything freaky, like it's a competition, doesn't mean that you're free with sex. It just sooner or later that kind of runs out. So some people may say, no, I'm not into that. I'm not into being a swinger. I'm not into you sleeping with my partner and him sleeping with you and then they sleep over there with him. And I'm not. It's okay to say no. I'm straight. I'm straight. Just me and him right now. Two of us. We're cool. Oh. And it's okay. Even though it's gotten so popular, you know, it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I do hear quite a few couples that I hear about quite a few couples that have open relationships or men that want to have open relationships with women that they meet or vice versa. Okay, women may not want to be with one person. They may not want to be in an exclusive relationship. They may want to enjoy multiple partners. So I would say find out if that's what you are into, if you're okay with that, and if you are, so be it. No judgment here. Just keep it safe and do your thing and enjoy your life and live your life. It's your life. Just work it how you want to work it. I think I've mentioned before that I have actually met a couple of men, and they were very open and upfront that they see other women. Now, it was up to me if I were to choose to continue seeing them based on what they shared. So, you were about to say Featherlight?
I know, it slipped my mind. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Well, now here's this last one. Again, this comes from Glamour.com. So these are not our thoughts, but we just thought we'd share this, speaking of sexual rights, and just tie this all in. So you have the right to feel sexy at any size. And I would also add, not just any size, no matter how you look, period. You can be ugly. But, you know, I don't think ugly women, nobody's ugly. Okay, nobody's ugly. But somebody that people may not feel is, like, attractive, it's okay for you to feel attractive because you are, whatever size you are, however you look. So the media portrays, like, a certain type of beauty. Thin is the norm, or a certain appearance. And so you have the right to feel that you are sexy no matter how you look, how other people may think you look, rather, I should say. So enjoy sex.
Right.
We rarely see sex scenes with, say, an obese woman. Maybe an obese man, but not an obese woman.
Right.
I don't really see that too often. And so there was some show that I watched, and there was a rather large young lady,
And there was like a love scene, and I was like, well, okay, I like that girl on there. Big girls get they look get on too, you know, they do it too. Mm-hmm. So why can't we see the big girl get some? We always see the big fat man laying up with somebody. So what's wrong with the big girl getting some? Right.
Mm-hmm. You do.
So yeah. So anyway, in essence, don't give away your power to determine your sexual worth. You have the right to feel sexy no matter what, and no one should take advantage of you because you are looking or feeling sexy. No one has the right, like Kevin Spacey was doing, just coming up grabbing people. And you know, they said Papa Bush was doing the same thing, grabbing women, talking about his favorite magician is David Copperfield. I mean, really? Just going around just touching people. But once again, you know, I always have to tie it back in. Once again, nothing has changed with these people. You've always been sexual predators. You have a group of people that are just sexual predators. And it always has happened. And nobody felt sorry for black women when we were being violated, when our families were being violated, not just the women, the men, and the children. So I'm not saying that I don't feel sorry for these people that's coming out speaking about how they were victims. But what I am saying is, can we sometimes think about historically what has happened to us? And now you see how we feel? The damage? These people talking about they experienced PTSD. We've experienced a hell of a lot of PTSD. And everything else.
A hell of a lot more.
Yes.
So we have a right to be angry.
We have a right to be angry. We have a right to be angry.
That's what we've been through.
Yes.
Okay. It's 10:03. Are we going to have a break before we do this?
Yes. Yes. Let's take a quick break. We'll conclude with this, and then we'll talk about date rape and acquaintance rape. You are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and we will be right back.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and we are talking about your sexual rights and honoring your sexual rights. Do not let anybody violate you. These people have been violating people just constantly. Ugh, stop it. Don't do that. Don't violate anybody's sexual rights. All right, Feather Light, you have one last right to share.
Last right. You have the right not to hook up. You have the right not to hook up. There's so many dating apps out there.
You
the message needs to be that people should be trying to hook up and get laid all the time. Online dating used to be for the stay-home loser types. You know, let me see if I can find somebody. I don't want to go out. They look like they're nice.
I can't get a date. I can't get a date.
But now there's a stigma for those who don't want to try online dating. It's a stigma for those people. So some feel like they have to be on the lookout for the next big jolt in life so that they can tell others about it. You know, I met this guy. Yes, and then we left his room. You just met him. But it's like, again, it's like they're trying to win medals to outdo one another. So this is not to say you're meant to be alone and desperate. you know, sometimes being single for a while, it actually helps you get in touch with who you are and what you really like. Sometimes we spend so much time trying to please somebody else, we don't even know what we like. We forget what we like, what you really have a passion for, versus being so wrapped up in someone else's needs. We forget and place our value in the amount of time that we spend with someone else. This is our value time, the time that we are spending with someone else. So what about the time that you spend with yourself, being alone? You know, so your alone time may be exactly what you need to carve out your life's path. You know,
I feel that
you may find it is actually easier to figure out what makes you feel good sexually and in life without worrying about a partner. I discover more things about myself when I am without a partner. Being alone doesn't mean that you are lonely. Sometimes you alone can feel really good because it's right on time.
Right on time.
You want to hook up? You want to hook up with me? You want to hook up? Hook up? No. You want to hook up?
No.
Hook up?
Yes.
You want to hook up with me?
Yes. So with the whole online dating thing, I know when it originated and like the internet became popular and people started meeting people, and when you heard about someone meeting somebody online and going out with them, you're like, oh my God, you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
They may kill you.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And then it just became normal because, full disclosure, I have actually signed up for an online dating service before, but I never followed through with anything. That's my problem. Like, I may sign up for it, and then I forget I'm on the darn dating app. And then so I don't go on it and check. So I want to say that a couple of times, though, I have gone out with some people that I may have met online, because for some people like myself, my lifestyle, I'm so busy doing different things, and I don't go out like to places for a lot of entertainment, like a bar or a club, not as much as I used to. So I'm usually traveling from one place to the next or something like that. And I guess I really should start going out to more events so that I can meet people. I do say that, and I try to go to some places now. Over the past 2 years, I've been trying to increase my visibility for prospects. So, but I think that online dating is fine if that's what you want to do. It works. You can meet people. I've heard of people meeting people and marrying them. And so I think online dating is cool. And then if you feel like you have not found someone that interests you, it's okay to just sit back and wait and let that person find you. I think so often we do get caught up in trying to find someone and looking desperate when you're out. And men can sense
desperation
in a woman. They can sense desperation in a woman. So
they can tune in
very quickly. Yeah. I don't know if women can sense desperation in men like we can sense, I guess, like a fakeness in a man, someone that's not sincere about their intention.
Yes, I think
that's
either
or. I see that.
Both men and women can do that. It's just your ability to use it. Some people don't use it. Like they say, women have intuition, but men do too. But you have to be in touch with it, and a lot of times many men are not in touch with their feelings. So if you're not in touch with your feelings, then you can't respond to your intuition, which is there. Everyone has it.
Yeah, we do. We all have an abundance of gifts.
as well. We just have to tap into it.
Tap into it. Tap into it. All right, then. You want to move on to things everyone should know about date and acquaintance rape, because, again, so many people been raped out here. Lord have mercy.
In the U.S., a rape occurs every 8 minutes. About 66% of all rapes are by someone the person knows, a friend, a boyfriend, relative, or other acquaintance. Date and acquaintance rape are both illegal. People who have been raped by someone they know have the same legal options as those raped by a stranger.
Listen up. Date rape is when someone you've been dating forces you to have sex, whereas acquaintance rape is when someone you know but are not necessarily dating rapes you. And so this person could just be someone that you may know in passing. This could be someone that you've been dating for months, years. But if you say no,
right, it's no.
It's no. It's no. And I think that maybe sometimes women may be confused too, and men as well. Even if you have a sexual relationship with someone, and if you say no because you just don't feel like it this particular time, and if they force themselves on you, that's still rape.
Sure is. It's rape.
And I just wonder, like, how many women have sat back and said, well, I can't report this as rape. I've been dating him for 3 years. We have sex every Saturday night. But this Saturday night, I just didn't feel like it.
But he forced himself on me anyway.
That is right. That's right.
If someone doesn't take no for an answer, it is rape. Everyone has the right to say no to sex at any time. Men can be raped also. About 3% of American men, or 1 in 33, have experienced an attempted or completed rape in their lifetime. 1 out of every 10 rape victims are male.
I did not know that statistic. 1 out of every 10 rape victims are male. And, you know, it's so ironic because many of these accusations against Kevin Spacey and Tootsie Man, Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
They've assaulted young boys. Young boys. My goodness. Alright. So it's okay for men to speak up about it. And I think that after this whole Me Too, hashtag Me Too, when women began to speak about being sexually assaulted, and then some men got in on the hashtag and saying and began to say Me Too, I applaud those men. I applaud men for speaking up and saying, you know, either I've been assaulted or I know someone that has been assaulted, and it happens to men. We just don't speak about it because of the stigma.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have the right to say no if you have been kissing or if you are dressed in sexy clothes. You have the right to say no, even if you have had sex with this person before, as we said. No always means no. Sexual excitement does not justify forced sex. I remember I had to tell this guy in the middle of his forced sex, as he's trying to rip my clothes off me, I'm telling him, okay, you know, and I had to just say it calmly like this, okay, so you know that at this point this is rape.
And that's all I said. And I just looked at him. And finally he stopped. Well, he stopped right after that. Because I don't think he understood that that was rape. Because I kept saying no. And I kept fighting him off. And he kept trying to take my clothes off. And I'm like, this is rape. At this point, this is rape. In other words, when you get through doing what you're doing, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go straight to the police station, and I'm going to file some charges. And I'm going to call my daddy, and I'm going to call my uncles, and I'm going to call my cousins. But anyway, so...
Pookie and them,
and all of them. Dre, Smokey, Debo, I'm calling all of them. So anyway, go ahead, Featherlight.
An attacker may use physical force or a weapon. Even if the person doesn't use physical force, it can still be rape. If someone threatens another person in order to have sex, it is rape.
That's right. Okay, so date rape is not about miscommunication. It is about power and control. Alcohol and other drugs often play a part in date rape. Having sex with someone who is too drunk or high to say no is rape. I think that is very important, and I hope that college campuses and parents are teaching their children this. Having sex with someone who is too drunk or high to say no is rape. And not just parents teaching children. I'm saying that so that people will grow up into responsible adults. But I think some adults may need to hear this too. If the person is too drunk or too high, don't have sex with them. Right. Don't have sex with them.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, not drunk sex.
You know they have not agreed. They cannot agree.
Yeah. So some common date rape drugs. Alcohol is the most common. Others include GHB, liquid ecstasy, Rufinol, and people call them roofies, and then ketamine or special K. Lord, have mercy. I heard of the GHB and the roofies and all of that from CSI Miami. So, yeah, be careful, people. Look at your drink, watch your drink. And, you know, we used to could say, don't leave your drink. Just make sure you're watching your drink. Friends, watch each other's drinks. But you have to watch these bartenders as they're making your drink, because you don't know if that person is friends with the bartender and it's all a setup. So when you out and you're meeting these guys and they're like, hey, ladies, you want me to buy y'all some drinks? Somebody go over to the bar and watch that bartender make those drinks, because these people are slick. They are slick, slick. Let me tell you, I knew a guy, he was so slick, and this is why I don't trust a lot of these people, and I try to share this with people. Listen to me. I knew a guy that was so slick, he knew that women were up on it about, no, I don't want you pouring my drink because you may put something in it. Baby, he would take a syringe and inject the drug through the corkscrew. So it's like a brand new bottle. Not open. And he's drugging you. He don't drink before. Yeah. So you have to watch these people. You have to really watch them. Be careful of who you're engaging with. So, yeah, that's that on that. So what about the instincts?
Trust your instincts. If someone does not listen to you or makes you feel uncomfortable, you may be in danger. If you're going on a date with someone you don't know well, meet them in a public place. Don't have them come over to your home and pick you up. Don't ever do that. Always drive your own vehicle and drive it to some place that's public. So when you're ready to go, you can go.
Yep. You can go. Call your Uber or whatever you have to do. Cab, bus, just have your own transportation. I remember what we used to do is when we were coming up, we were always told to make sure we had a dime, then it went up to a quarter.
for the phone booth, so you can call a ride home. So that's right. What we were told. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have your dime. Make sure you have a quarter. So you can call for a ride home.
Right.
Then, you know, when you got older, it was like, make sure you have enough for your cab fare home, just in case you need to get home. So, but anyway, yeah, make sure you can get up out of there, you know, escape. If someone is pushing you to have sex when you don't want to, say no clearly. Move away from the person. If you feel uneasy, yell for help. If you can get away, get away. Sometimes it's not safe to resist rape. The rape is still not your fault. Wait a minute. Sometimes it's not safe to resist rape?
Right.
I didn't get that. Sometimes it's not safe.
They may have a weapon at your neck. And you struggling, you may get cut. I don't know. I guess you may get hurt. I don't know.
Okay, listen. I'm scratching that one. I'm not going with that. Sometimes it's not safe to resist rape. I'm going to try to resist. I'm going to keep on resisting and resisting. But I guess in this case, if, like you said, if your life is truly threatened, if you may just need to go on and have sex with him so he can go in on and go or whatever, and you just go file your police report afterwards, I guess that's what this is speaking to. If you don't lose your mind and get up and kill the person and bash their damn head in. Ugh. All right. So anyway, moving along. So rape is still not your fault. Okay. That's the key. It's not rape, your fault. Remember that.
Right. Rape is emotionally devastating. A person who is raped by someone she or he knows may have a hard time trusting other people. If someone tells you that he or she has been raped, the best thing you could do is to listen and be supportive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Believing the victim is one of the most important ways that you can be supportive. Just believe them.
Yeah.
And listen to them. It's very, very difficult to talk about. So if they want to talk about it, if they want to share it with you, just listen. It would help them so much.
I agree. Okay, so if you are raped, get help right away. Do not shower before seeing a doctor. Call a rape crisis line. The National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-HOPE or 4673. 1-800-656-4673. And then there's the 24-hour RAIN line, and it's the world's largest anti-sexual violence organization, rather. And you'll get help about your feelings and medical care. So they'll give you some direction. They'll sit and talk with you, and we'll help you through the process. Help you through it. Because you've been violated. And goodness gracious, that's a horrible feeling. Above all, again, remember that you are not the guilty person, and you have nothing to be ashamed about. Your rights have been violated, and that needs to be understood. Wow. No one wants to be raped. Rape is never, ever the victim's fault. Never, ever.
Never.
So we wanted to share this because so many people have been coming out about their sexual assault experiences, being sexually assaulted by different people. And it's important for us to learn how to respect our sexual rights in terms of enjoyment and what we do not find pleasure in. If you don't find pleasure in someone groping you, touching you, speak out about it. Do something about it. If you see someone that is a predator, speak out about it. All of these people in Hollywood have been knowing that all of this has been going on. Hell, I don't even live in Hollywood. And as long as I can remember, we've heard about the casting couch.
So it's no secret.
Oh, yeah. Why?
It's not a secret. So this has been going on for decades, and it's been allowed. It's been customary. It's normative. But I am glad that people are speaking out about it. I am glad that they're speaking out about it, as they should. But I tell you, I wish that people were in a position where they didn't feel like they couldn't say anything about these so-called powerful people. That's what's heartbreaking and egregious.
Mm-hmm. All these years they've kept quiet.
Right. And they knew about these people. Mm-hmm. They knew about these people. So, anything else you want to say closing that up before we get ready to take a break and we'll come back with our African spirit, Huey P. Newton?
No, I'm good.
Good, okay. So I'll share this quick quote, inspirational quote. You are always one decision from a totally different life. You're always one decision from a totally different life.
And you can do it.
Just one decision away.
One decision.
Your choice.
Take the step.
Mm-hmm.
Your choice.
You just have to take the step and make the decision. The decision to change your life, and it will change. Believe in yourself. So we will take a break, and let's see, Fabula. You still have to give us our hand mudras,
right?
Okay, so we'll do our hand mudras. We'll come back with our African spirit, talk a little bit about Huey P. Newton, and we'll go into our Love the Body as well. You are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. And while we're on this quick break, you can log on to Black Talk Radio Network and donate to the Black Talk Media Project. And you can also sign up for BTR, the Social Media Experience. We will be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right, so you are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and we are sharing our African spirit segment piece on Huey P. Newton. If you're just tuning in, Huey Percy Newton was an African-American political activist and revolutionary, who along with Bobby Seale co-founded the Black Panther Party in October 1966. He was born February 17th, 1942, in Monroe, Louisiana. I want to say that Monroe, Louisiana is also where Queen Mother Moore is from, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's Louisiana, but I want to say Monroe. There's a lot of history in Monroe, Louisiana, over there in that area. He died August the 22nd, 1989. That was the year I graduated from high school, in Oakland, California. Spouse Frederica Newton and Gwen Fontaine. He was married to Frederica Newton from 1984 to 1989 and Gwen Fontaine 1974-1983. So he was the youngest of seven children of Amelia Johnson and Walter Newton, a sharecropper and Baptist lay preacher. His parents named him after former
Governor of Louisiana, Huey Long. And in 1945, the family migrated to Oakland, California, as part of the second wave of the Great Migration of African Americans out of the South to the Northeast, Midwest, and West. Now, growing up in Oakland, Newton stated that he was made to feel ashamed of being black. In his autobiography, Revolutionary Suicide, he wrote, "During those long years in Oakland public schools, I did not have one teacher who taught me anything relevant to my own life or experience. Not one instructor ever awoke in me a desire to learn more or to question or to explore the worlds of literature, science, and history. All they did was try to rob me of the sense of my own uniqueness and worth, and in the process nearly killed my urge to inquire. I believe you, Huey, because guess what? I felt the same way, and I know that so many other students, and in particularly black students, we felt like that in school. We felt completely left out of history, of civilization, starting my existence off as slave around some darn plantation. Anyway, as a student at Merritt College in Oakland, Newton became involved in politics in the Bay Area. He joined the Afro-American Association, became a prominent member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, Beta Tau chapter, and played a role in getting the first African-American history course adopted as part of the college's curriculum. He read the works of Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin, Frantz Fanon, Malcolm X, Mao Zedong, and Che Guevara. During his time at Merritt College is when he met Bobby Seale, and the two organized the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense in October of 1966. Seale became the chairman, and Newton became the Minister of Defense. The Black Panther Party was an organization working for the right of self-defense for African Americans in the United States. And many of the beliefs were greatly influenced by the Honorable Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik Shabazz. The party's political goals, including better housing, jobs, and education for African Americans, were documented in their 10-point program, which was a set of guidelines the Black Panther Party to the Black Panther Party's ideals and ways of operation. So Newton and the Panther started a number of social programs in Oakland, including founding the Oakland Community School, which provided high-level education to 150 children from impoverished urban neighborhoods. Other Panther programs included the free breakfast program for children and others that offered dances for teenagers and training in martial arts. According to the Oakley County supervisor, John George, he stated, "Huey could take the street gang types and give them a social consciousness." And I shall read a quote by Huey P. Newton. He said, "I think what motivates people is not great hate, but great love for other people." Huey P. Newton, for our African Spirit segment tonight. I appreciate the Panthers for that free breakfast program that they initiated, because every school that you go to now has that free breakfast program. So I appreciate the Panthers for so many of the social programs that they operated in the communities to help people. And I know that there were many troubles. We could go on and on about organizational troubles that the Panthers experienced for this reason or that reason. But overall, I can appreciate those social programs and the social consciousness that they brought about in the black community during that time, along with many other people that were bringing along social consciousness around the world. We spoke about Steve Biko. Around the same time, these brothers on one side of the separate parts of the world, bringing together black consciousness, creating black consciousness awareness, and striving for social change
and improving our lot as a people. So I appreciate brothers and sisters who strive like that. All right.
And it's our African spirit. Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So we have to give them their props and their honor. That's right. The spirit lives on.
All right. So what do you want to share with us? The hand movements?
Yes. Let's talk about mudras.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we spoke before about your hands, how powerful they are, and they have the ability to heal. So have you ever touched someone who was sick or just down, and you could feel that spark of hope in them with your touch, or you took someone's hand in yours, and you put your other hand on top of it, and you just knew that they felt instantly better just with your touch. So mudras are hand gestures, and form certain ways they move energy within your body up to your brain. So a very simple but powerful mudra that many people use every day is the prayer mudra. When you have the palms of your hands touching and you have your hands up to your heart, and it's called the Anjali mudra, which Anjali itself means offering. So many people use this every day to greet someone or saying goodbye, initiating or completing an action. So, and it's also used in yoga. So that is actually a mudra. So you've been doing mudras all along. Now, in mudra therapy, each finger represents an element, like the elements all around us. The finger represents, let me tell you about the elements first. According to natural sciences, disease comes about when the elements and the earth are out of balance. For instance, tornadoes, fires, and hurricanes and such. They indicate an imbalance in nature. So mudra therapy is a practice where you use specific methods of touching and aligning the fingers of each other in order to bring back the balance in our bodies. Because each one of our fingers represent an element. So the ring finger is the earth element. Mudras for the air element will incorporate the index finger, and the thumb represents the fire element, and the little finger, or pinky as some people call it, represents the water element, and your middle finger represents ether or space. So it's funny, people thought the middle finger is actually means space. But when you, by pressing the fingers together, curling them, touching or pointing different fingers or parts of the hands in different ways, you can instigate particular energy flows that stimulate reflexes from the hand to the brain. And that's why people can give reflexology. They know which finger connects to which part of the body. How the meridian goes to a particular part of the body. So this is a good one to do, that everybody can do if you want to start doing mudras. Well, if you're doing the prayer mudra, you're already doing a mudra. But this is an element, this is a mudra for all of the elements, and it balances your energy in your body. So if you're feeling off, looking for a quick fix, during the day, you're kind of tired. This is a good one. Hold on a second. Okay. Had to take the sip of water. Okay, it is a set of four mudras. So, mudras are best done with both hands together. So, what you do is, first on both hands simultaneously, touch the tips of your thumb
and your index finger. So do that now. We're going to do this together. Take the tip of your thumb and touch it to your index finger, your pointer finger, as some people say. And basically, you would hold this there for 5 seconds, but we're only going to do a couple of seconds. I just want to demonstrate it to you. Now take it in your thumb and touch your middle finger. Then touch your ring finger. Then touch your pinky finger. So each touch would last about 5 seconds. And then you feel the connection, okay? So you would do several rounds of this until your breathing was slowed or you're ready to return to your day or drift off to sleep because it balances you. So you can do this anywhere. You can do this while you're standing in the line at the store. You can have your hands in your pockets or out. And it's a good mudra that you can do anytime. And it also helps to quiet your mind because you're concentrating on doing a mudra. So that's what I wanted to share with you, and love the body.
All right. And I've been practicing different mudras now that I've learned exactly like what the hand position means or the effect that it will give your body when you position your hands in those certain mudras. Very, 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 very intriguing. I did not know. Because you see, like, the Buddha sitting with a certain, the ring, not the ring finger, the index finger and the thumb. That's such a common one that we've seen. And the prayer.
Yes.
I didn't realize that was a mudra.
Right.
The prayer hand.
Right.
But, yeah, all of the other different mudras to help with your cognitive abilities or weight loss or a certain mood or something like that, or illness to heal your spine or liver. Yes, anxiety. So the mudras are very important. And I think it's some of those, what would I say, just some of the esoteric information that it's actually been hidden from us for far too long. And it's time to regain that knowledge and information so that we can become powerful again. So thanks for sharing that about the mudras.
You're welcome.
Yay. The mudras. All right. So what do we have, a spoken word? Are you giving us the train?
Do I want to do the train? Let's see. I was going to share my letter, but I guess I'll do the train. Okay, so let's call it, is that a train? So this is a story. This is a story of a man at the train station. A man was at the train station about to walk across the tracks after obviously a long, hard day. He was a fine-looking man, dressed to the T, sharper than Dick was when Hattie died. To look at his attire, you'd think he didn't have a problem in the world. The little rascals would say everything was okay. As he began to make his way across the tracks, headed home, I suppose, he heard a faint whistle in the distance, like the sound of a train. He stopped, peered down the track, and thought, it couldn't be a train. It was a small town, and another train wasn't due for a while. Maybe next year or next month, but not today. But it sure sounded like a train. The man continued to walk slowly across the track, carrying his bags, which were a bit heavy. After a few more steady steps, he heard the sound again, only it seemed louder, closer. The well-dressed man put down one of his bags, removed his hat, and scratched his head as he strained to gaze down the empty track. Why would a train be coming at this time of the day when there's no schedule for a train? Someone could get hurt, like the last time. Doesn't make sense. He pondered on this for a moment and then picked his suitcase back up and straightened his hat. This is crazy.
He thought about picking up speed, but his shoes were a little too big, and it was a little warm, and he still had it on his jacket and plus a tie. Besides, he really wanted him to take his time and not break a sweat. He was looking pretty good. A train didn't have any business coming on this track now anyway. So he continued at his regular pace. There is no train. Why would there be? Nobody's at the station. Must be his imagination. The track was pretty wide, as this had been a popular station at one time. So he was only about halfway across when he heard another loud whistle. Definitely a train whistle. Oh, shit. That's a train. And it's coming fast. He couldn't tell which track it was on. His sweat was blurring his vision. And he began to struggle with the bags, and one of his shoes came off as it got stuck between the tracks. He could hear and see the train clearly now. He didn't know whether to turn back or try to make it across to the side before it got smashed to smithereens. Should he drop the bags and lose the other shoe? Who's driving that train anyway? And who authorized this sudden action? Why didn't they let the train folks know ahead of time? Do they not care that people could get hurt and children could get hurt even? This is just heartless. It doesn't make any sense. Not even supposed to be coming. If I make it across this track, I'm going to investigate this whole crap, have some meetings, and come up with some ideas. Maybe put someone else in charge of the train schedule, so I'll know when to prepare. But I better do something now, quick, and in a hurry, because it sure is coming fast. And damn, it's big. Namaste.
Namaste. Oh, excuse me. I feel like I'm at the theater with your spoken words sometimes. I just really need to see it on stage, actually. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you. Snap, snap, snap.
So often we get so caught up in the whys and the what fors and the how comes, and we forget mm-hmm. our own mission. And the man had plenty of time to get across the track. We're given all kinds of signs and warnings, but we refuse mm-hmm. to accept what is clear. We'd rather waste time speculating, debating, and hesitating, hypothesizing, mm-hmm. analyzing, and criticizing. As our friend Carnita used to say, we play too much and stay too long.
Stay too long. And like Queen Mother Moore used to say, children, you're too slow. Too slow. Too slow. Too slow. Play too much. But I think many of us are coming off their playing field, though.
You think, yes. Yeah. It's a time of knowing.
It is. 2000, year 2000, that's what all the Y2K crap was about. Folks waking up. 1996, 2000, and 2012. Especially 2012, it just kicked wide open then. That was the shift right there. It was like, woo, okay. Mm-hmm. People started waking up, coming into the light and the knowledge. Mm-hmm. It was like the light bulb clicked.
Yeah.
Oh, out of the wilderness in the darkness.
Okay, I see what's going on.
Yeah, the emperor has no clothes.
Mm-hmm. No clothes, do you have?
Right.
No clothes do you have.
All right.
Well, I was I think I was going to share my letter. You know, we've been talking about writing a letter to yourself. Learning to love yourself. Take some time for some kindness to yourself. So, I had suggested that you write a letter to yourself, okay? Someone suggested that to me, a therapist, actually. So she said, write a letter to yourself. And I said, why would I do that? Why would I want to do that?
But I went ahead and did it, so I'd like to share this. Okay, it's called I'm Falling in Love. I'm falling in love with someone I've known all my life. She has always been there, standing behind me, beside me, and sometimes jumping in front of me to take a blow. She's pretty cool most of the time, but sometimes she really racks my nerves. She forgets things I need, forgets where she put them when I wasn't paying any attention, or gets things mixed up. I don't think she does it intentionally because she's really not that type of person. She also gets sidetracked and forgets what she was doing. I do give her a lot of tasks to complete and confide in her all the time about the tons of things whirling through my mind, so it's no wonder she gets overwhelmed. She's also quite tight-lipped when it comes to sharing her feelings or speaking up for herself or voicing her opinions. I admonish her for these oversights, but I really should be more understanding. Although she has always been very quiet, she is learning to speak out about her feelings, which is very impressive because it takes a lot of courage to do something different like that. She's really quite smart and has a good sense of humor and can dance. She can do a lot of things, actually. She's got good communication skills when it comes to work, and she's very personable and sincere, so people tend to like her. She's kind-hearted, has balance of energy, and very compassionate. Did I say she's a snazzy dresser? She's got her own style and has a very bold and sleek look. My new love has a warm smile and is a good listener if you need to talk to someone. Although it's not one of her favorite things to do, my friend can cook a mean meal when she feels like it. She has a secret ingredient she calls love. Courage is one of her strongest suits, and she isn't afraid to take risks and step out into the unknown. Adapting to different situations quickly is something else she does well, and patience, that's truly a virtue with her. One thing I've noticed, too, when she falls, and she does her share, she falls hard, but she always seems to get back up again. I like that about her. She's got a gentle spirit, loves children, nature, and lower creatures, and she has a special relationship with trees. She believes they're spirits. A couple of reliable sources have told her she's what's called an empath. You know, one of those hypersensitive people who feels the pain of others. That's pretty special, I hear. I don't know why I never noticed all these wonderful things about her before. I guess I was too busy pointing out her faults. I've loved and been in love with others in the past, but now I think it's time to fall in love with me. I wrote this back in February of 2013.
Oh. Namaste. Namaste. That's beautiful. Oh,
that's my letter to myself.
Writing letters to yourself is so therapeutic. I should write a letter to myself.
You should.
I've written one before.
You'd be surprised what you said.
A full time. But yeah, I need to write a new letter to myself.
Mm-hmm.
To live in my dream.
Yes.
I'm so proud of myself. Super proud of myself.
Mm-hmm. You should be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You should pat yourself on the back.
I do. Every time I go to bed and wake up. all right, so let's breathe.
Breath and relaxation.
Okay.
Breathing. So tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand again and get into your Wuji position.
Okay.
With your knees just relaxed, your butt as if you're about to sit down, but not to where it's uncomfortable. There should be a bend in your elbow, bend in your wrist, and your fingers are spread apart. Your neck is straight. Your chin is slightly tucked under. And this should be a comfortable stance. This is called the Wunji stance, the great meditation stance. There's, you're not doing anything. And your body is at rest and it is at ease. There is no strain to stand. So take a couple of deep breaths, filling your air, your stomach rather, with air. And exhale out through your mouth. Again, inhale and exhale. Now this time when you inhale, you're going to slowly bend your knees and act as if you're picking up a bundle of leaves that you've just raked. So you're going to use both arms and you're going to spread them out, and then you're going to gather the leaves together, bring them up, bring them up, bring them up to your abdomen, 2 inches below your abdomen. Then you're going to spread your arms out and drop the leaves with your palms down. Flip over your palms so the palms is going up. Bring them up over your head and form a triangle. And then you're going to bring your good chi down to your abdomen. Do it once more. Wuji stands. Stoop. Bend down. Inhale. Exhale. Scoop up. Inhale. Arms out. Flip over. Exhale. Up. Inhale. Bring down. And exhale. All right, that was the earth element. You're free to do that at home. The earth element, as we said, it is one of the elements that we work with. And the earth, you can do that anytime. There are actual elements for each one of the elements that we have. So that's a good one you can do in the morning. So thank you so much. We had breathing and had Chi Young.
Yes.
For joining us.
And it was so relaxing.
Can you again?
It was so relaxing.
Was it relaxing?
I almost fell over on that second leaf pickup. I was so relaxed. I had to catch myself. So, yes. Thank you so much, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Scotty.
Oh, you had
thank you.
You had one more you had one more quote you wanted to give before you left.
Yes. Let me see. Let me find my quote. Let me find my quote. Let me see. Where is my quote? Yes. Here we are.
You got it?
Yes, I have it. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Take the moment and make it perfect.
Yeah.
Don't wait for the perfect moment. Take the moment and make it perfect. Yes. Live your life.
Yes. And mine is, life is not measured by the breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
We're in theater.